Good evening, dear saints. Good to be here at this family meeting with you. And tonight, I actually get the privilege of closing out our series on our riches in Christ. We pray that it's been an encouraging and a transforming time as you've heard the word on each of these great blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I get to focus on what ought to be the result of our understanding of these riches. I'm going to be talking about how this should affect the way that we live in our everyday life. And so this is the so what. Hopefully you've been getting the so what in each of the sermons, but I hope to really hammer down the so what of all these blessings in Christ. And I need the Lord's help to do this, so why don't you go to the Lord with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. And as we just sung, our desire is that Christ be exalted in all things. Our desire is that our lives would exalt Christ, that it would please him, that would bring appropriate worship to you through the Son. And Lord, we know that salvation is all from you. All those blessings that we've seen in these past weeks, they're all from you. And the strength now to live out these truths, the strength to live for you, only comes from you. So I ask, Lord, would you empower us? Would you allow your word to have its way with us? Would you, even now, transform us, convict us where we need to be convicted, change us where we need to be changed, Lord, grow us where we need to be grown. And you know the depths of our heart. You know exactly what we need. Lord, we need you. You, by the power of the Spirit, work in our midst that we might live a life that are living sacrifices unto you. And we would give you all the praise now. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I love my wife for many reasons, but one of them is because we share a simplicity in the things that we enjoy. For example, she's told me that for Mother's Day and for her birthdays, she would always be satisfied with two things. One of them is spending quality time with myself and her son, MJ, and the other is enjoying a good steak. And I enjoy that with her, so I love that simplicity. And for that reason, when those times come around, I do my best to find the most worthy ribeye steak and cook it to perfection on the grill so I can present it to her in all of its juicy glory. And this introduction is a shout out to our wonderful Ron Espiritu, who is the master of steak analogies, and I hope he's proud as he's seeing from glory. And my wife, she can attest to this, that once she cuts into it and she takes that first bite of the steak, one thing I'm always asking, how is it? How do you like it? Is it the way you want it? And hopefully she responds in a positive way. But I tend to keep asking that. And she says, I already said that it was good. And she almost gets annoyed with me, right? Because I keep asking. Now, why do I keep asking? It's because I care that she gets the best steak possible because I love her. That is the response of my love, right? That's why I want it to be perfect. Now I share this because in our text, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, God has a particular thing that he desires from us as believers. He has called us to present something to him out of a response of thankfulness and love for his great mercies. Now, no, it's not a steak. So rather than it being a perfectly cooked steak, he calls us to present ourselves to him as a living sacrifice. And as a blood-bought, redeemed sinner, it ought to be your desire and my desire to serve us, ourselves up to him, the most perfectly prepared offering. We should want to offer him ourselves as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God. you and I ought to care deeply about what kind of offering we are presenting before the Lord. So the title of this message is Living as a Sacrifice of Worship. And to live a sacrifice of worship, you'll need to do three things from this text. First, you need to present yourself to God. Second, be fueled by your riches in Christ. And third, don't be conformed, but be transformed. And we're going to look at each of those three. Let me read our text for tonight, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So first thing, number one, if we're going to live as a sacrifice of worship, we'll do it by presenting yourself to God. Present yourself to God. The application of this passage is clear. It says, present yourself. Now, it's pretty straightforward what it means to present. The word is often translated to stand before someone. And in this context, it means to give something over to another. It's to put at the disposal of someone else. That's what it means to present before. And Paul is actually carrying over an idea that he already started in Romans 6. Why don't we turn back to Romans 6. Looking at verse 12 and 13, he gets this idea of presenting ourselves. Romans 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting, there you go, the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So how are we to understand what it means to present ourselves? It gives this idea, now that God has done his great work of salvation in you, you must no longer put yourself at the disposal of your sin and your lusts. Stop doing that. We don't do that. But now, as a born-again child of God, you are to put yourself at the disposal of God for the sake of righteousness. That's what he's saying, and that's what he's saying here. Present yourselves. And here particularly, he says, present your bodies. Now, when he says your bodies, we can't think that this just means the physical aspect of our bodies. That's not what it's talking about. It doesn't just mean our flesh and our blood and our physical form. In our passage, body here is described as a living and holy sacrifice. It's described as our service of worship. Later, our passage says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So body here does not just mean we present the physical aspect of ourselves, but rather we're presenting our true selves. We give over to God all that we are in every aspect, physical, spiritual, mental. You are called to present before God all that you are. I read an illustration where it described a little church where they're passing over the offering plate, and this little girl, after having come from Sunday school, took the plate, put it on the floor, and stood upon it. And someone asked, "What are you doing, little girl?" She said, "I learned in Sunday school that I was supposed to give myself to the Lord." That's the idea, dear Christian. You are to offer yourself, all that you are, your whole being, mind, body, soul. All of you. That's your calling. And present yourself to be what? To be what? Here it gives two pictures of what we're to present ourselves as. First, an Old Testament sacrifice, and second, an Old Testament priest. It says, present yourselves a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. You know, when Israel in the Old Testament was to give an offering to the Lord, many times it required an animal sacrifice. And these animals were chosen to be consecrated. They were to be set apart for his use. And these animals were supposed to be without defect. And here, the passage is saying, there's something like that with you. Okay? So what makes the sacrifices the same? Well, just as the animals were set apart for the Lord for his holy use, you also have been set apart by God for his purposes. You are his holy sacrifice, set for him. Another way we're the same is just as those animals were without blemish and so were to be acceptable to God, you are also to be a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, we understand from the rest of Romans what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean pleasing to the Lord by our own works. Romans is clear about that. It's that we are well-pleasing in that we depend upon grace through faith, that we live by faith, that we're justified by faith, and now we put to death the deeds of the body by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's that way, as we're doing that in our lives, that we present ourselves well-pleasing. But there are ways that we ought to be different than those sacrifices. Well, first of all, in our sense, it means self-surrender. You know, if you go back to Old Testament, if the goats could talk, if the lambs could speak, and they were told, oh, you're about to get slain, I don't think they would be okay with that. They didn't go necessarily willingly. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were just led to be slaughtered. But here it says, you give yourself. You are the sacrifice. It puts in mind self-surrender. You are voluntarily putting yourself and presenting yourself before the Lord. Another way that we're different is that animal was a one-time sacrifice because it was put to death. But you and I, we're not a one-time sacrifice. We're not to be put to death in our offering. It says here, particularly, you are a living sacrifice. God has called you to be a sacrifice, but not to die for him, but to live for him. So there's that picture of the sacrifice. But then it also says, you are to be the priest. The priest. It says, which is your spiritual service of worship? The picture switches here from the sacrifice to the Old Testament priest. Spiritual service of worship here is the same word that refers to the priestly service given in the temple. That's what he's talking about. So just as those priests were charged to make sure that the labor of the offerings get done, God says, you are put in charge to make sure the appropriate offerings are to be made. Now, instead of looking over the temple and its duties, you are to look over your own life. You are to make sure that the offering of yourself is a holy, living sacrifice. You're to labor towards that. So the application of this is clear, isn't it? What kind of sacrifice are you? What kind of sacrifice are you? Has your living shown itself to be set apart for God alone? Did the things you did today or this past week reflect that Jesus is your Lord and your Master? Did your deeds display that you're committed to God's mission to make disciples? Did your speech show your aim to exalt Christ in everything you say? Did your thoughts and intentions reveal that you're a follower of Jesus? You see, what kind of living sacrifice are you? And are you the kind of priest that is laboring to make sure that that offering is well-pleasing? And there it says, this is your spiritual service of worship. That's the word for rational or reasonable, right? In view of what God has done in his mercy, this labor towards giving a living sacrifice, it makes sense. It's an appropriate action. It's appropriate work in view of your riches in Christ. It's reasonable. And that leads us to our second point. So if you're going to live as a sacrifice of worship, you need to present yourself to God. But second, you need to be fueled by your riches in Christ. Be fueled by your riches in Christ. Look again at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. It begins with a therefore, right? And that points us back to all those truths that Paul had written about. You know, the letter to the Romans is probably one of the most theologically rich and thorough in all the New Testament that describes our salvation. And in it, God unfolds this reality of our sinfulness in chapters 1 through 3. In chapters 3 through 5, it contrasts our sinful depravity with this free and merciful, rich salvation that's given to us in Jesus. We're given this free gift of justification by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then in chapters 6 through 8, it describes our sanctification, how we put to death the deeds of the body through the power of the Holy Spirit, also that was freely given to us. Now, don't those truths sound familiar? Those all include what we've been hearing these past weeks. That's what he's been talking about. These are exactly the truths that we've been hearing each week about our riches in Christ. And he says, by the mercies of God, because of all these truths, present yourself. And what he's saying there is, as you dwell on these riches, it's going to motivate you. Those truths are going to be your motivation. He says, by the mercies of God. And here it's the plural. And what he means is you need to bring to mind this enumeration of God's divine compassion that's provided in Christ. Paul wanted you to remember your many and great riches in Christ. Think of what we've went over. Before you were even created, God chose you before the foundation of the world. There was no reason to choose you. There was nothing good in you. He chose you. And then in time, after you were born, he said, there's a time I am going to call them to salvation. We talked about that effectual call where we were drawn to Christ. Someone preached the gospel to us, and God made sure that it came at the right time. He busted into reality, into our reality, to come get us. And then he gave us the new birth, regeneration, gave us new spiritual life from within. And because of that regeneration, we responded in faith and repentance. Faith is that which connects us to God. And repentance says that we turn away from sin and turn toward Christ. Not only that, but we were justified. When we were guilty, worthy of only condemnation, God said from his throne, I will proclaim them as innocent. I will give them a new status as totally not guilty because they stand in my Son. And if that wasn't enough, he says, I don't want you to just be a good servant that's right with me. I want you to be my child. I want you to be my son, my daughter. I want to draw you close in adoption. We've been united with Christ and we receive all these things, and he gives us the power to live holy now, to be sanctified progressively. And we heard again that we're going to reach the end. We're going to persevere to the end. And as a guarantee, he gave us the sealing of the Spirit, and one day we look forward to being glorified with new bodies. Do you remember those riches? What do those riches make you want to do? Worship him and present your bodies. Present yourselves. This is the motive. This is why you will do this. Let me ask you, are you being fueled by the right thing to be a living sacrifice? There's a lot of wrong fuels, okay? You know, I remember a story surprisingly enough, in my family. So one of my family just learned how to drive, and they had like a nice new car. But unfortunately, no one taught them how to pump gas. So they went to the gas station, and they pulled up and accidentally took the diesel out and pumped it full of diesel. Guess what? Wrong fuel, creating wrong results. Christian, there is a wrong fuel for you living as a sacrifice. You can be fueled by the fear of God alone. I need to do what I'm supposed to do because I'm going to get struck. That's one reason. But you know, that's not going to give you the power. You could do it by trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's the wrong fuel. The dependence on yourself, that's the wrong fuel. Christian, do you have the right fuel? Are you motivated by all these riches, remembering and dwelling again what God has done to me, a great, great sinner? I don't deserve any of these, but I have all of them. Oh, how could I not present myself as a living sacrifice for you, Father, through your Son? How could I not present myself as a living sacrifice before you? So if you're going to live as a sacrifice of worship, present yourself to God and be fueled by your riches in Christ. And lastly here, live as a sacrifice of worship by not being conformed, but being transformed. Not being conformed, but being transformed. It says, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. That word means to be formed according to the pattern or a mold. It's to be fashioned alike, to be shaped to the pattern outwardly. It means to form or mold one's behavior in accordance with a particular pattern. The idea is Jell-O, right? You pour liquid Jell-O into a mold, right? And then after it hardens, it just looks like that mold. That's what the world is trying to do to you. The world is trying to press you into a shape. The world has its agenda, and it's going to try to take you and your spiritual life and say, no, you need to look like us. And so it presses you and tries to make you look like it. And so here, God is saying, well, how are you going to be a living sacrifice? What's a practical way that you can present yourself a living sacrifice? Well, first, you got to not be pressed in, conformed by this world. Don't be shaped after this world. And the word there is age, this worldly age. Age means this floating mass of thoughts, these opinions, these maxims, these speculations, these hopes, impulses, aims, aspirations, all those that are in this current time. That are not according to Scripture. They want to press you. They want to make you look like them. Think like them. And if you're going to be a living sacrifice, you must refuse that conforming. Our new elder, Todd Bolton. Praise God for you. I'm stealing this very wonderful analogy from him, but he gave the example of a rock, right? You could have a jagged rock. Really jagged rock, and you could put it in a stream. And you know, if you leave it for a few days, it still probably will be a jagged rock. But if you leave it long enough, what's going to happen? The current of that river, of that body of water, is going to start to erode it slowly and surely. All the rock has to do is do nothing, and it will get smooth. You ever been at a river and feel some of the rocks? They're smooth. Because that river has been working on it every minute. Dear Christian, all you have to do is do nothing and you will be conformed. All you have to do is do nothing and you will start being shaped. You must refuse its conforming. That's how you're going to be a living sacrifice. So what are those things of this world that are attempting to shape you? Is the world trying to shape you after its idolatry of comfort, of ease, of entertainment? It says, take your ease. You don't need to worry about serving. You don't need to worry about labor. It's all about relaxing. Take your retirement early. Put your feet up. That's the dream life, right? Be comfortable. Fill yourself with entertainment. It's trying to press that upon you. Are you being shaped after the world's false ways of thinking about gender and sexuality and race? Are you being shaped after the world's political ideologies, whether extreme left or extreme right? We should not be biting full into any political agenda. You are a citizen of Christ. You're a citizen of heaven in Christ. That is our first citizenship. Is the world trying to shape you after its greed for power and wealth, that you need to sell your soul to climb that corporate ladder, to reach the dream, to get that salary, to get that two-level house with seven bedrooms and seven bathrooms? Are you being pressed and conformed into that? You know, maybe you're facing pressures from the world, the media, maybe unbelieving family, maybe unbelieving friends. Sometimes those pressures can be so heavy, can't they? But you must fight to not be conformed. But how do we battle this? How will we battle that pressure from the world? We need to look at the rest of the verse. Look at verse 2. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He says, be transformed, be changed. Or another way to say it, be transfigured. This is the Greek word metamorphao, where you hear the word metamorphosis. It's to be formed or shaped after one's essential being or essence. The change in view here, it's not a superficial fluctuation or just fashion, but it's a vital change. It reveals the real you, the true you. And it's the word that Christ, it was used of Christ when he was transfigured on the mountaintop. Now, when you think of that moment when Christ was transfigured, what happened? His glory shone, right? While Jesus was in this world and took on humanity, his glory, his greatness, he is deity. He's fully God, fully man, but it is veiled. It was veiled while he was here, right? People looked at him and they just saw another guy. But in that moment, Jesus just pulled back a little bit of the veil and let them see who he is essentially. That he is magnificent and glorious. And as a result, he shone like the sun. He shone like the brightest light. He revealed what he really was in that short moment. Just a fraction of who he really is. And that's what this means. One commentator put it this way: to be transformed does not refer to what is outward and transient, but to what is inward and real, which produces an outward expression which proceeds from its truly representative of one's inward character and nature. Hence, on the Mount of Transfiguration, the glory which was Jesus' essential and eternal inner divine nature shone outward for a brief time and a limited degree. And in a similar way, the believer's inner redeemed nature is to continually be manifest outwardly in our daily thoughts, words, and deeds. Does that make sense? Let me break it down real quick. So how do you fight the conforming of the world? Be transformed. And what does that mean? Be what you are. All those riches in Christ told you what you are. Now be that. You are a child of God. Now live that essential being out in your character. Live that out in your deeds. Live that out on your speech. Let it be seen of that spiritual life in you that's truly you. Let it be seen now in your activities. That's what he's saying. That's what it means to be transformed. Now, how are we going to be transformed? It says, by the renewing of your mind. In order to live out this spiritual life in us, we need to think spiritually. That's how we fight that world's conforming influence. We need to fight it with correct biblical thinking. It's when we think according to God's truth that we're going to be transformed in accordance to God's truth. And more specifically, in order to be renewed in our mind and transformed, it's going to take beholding Christ in his word. I'll give you one text. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You see, there's a way to understand Scripture without beholding Christ. And we know that from the Pharisees, that that kind of understanding, a Christless understanding of the word, is cold, it's legalistic, and it's powerless. If we truly want to be ongoingly transformed in accordance to the new birth, that spiritual life in us, then we need to behold Christ in the word. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed," there's the same word, "are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." So how are you going to be transformed? Behold Christ in the word, Christian. How are you going to fight that conforming influence of the world? Behold Christ and be transformed by him. Be made into him, his image, as you behold him. So let me ask you, are you laboring to renew your mind and behold Christ in the word? Are you taking a personal intake of God's word to be shaped? You know, our new elder, Julian, gave this example at yesterday's Next Gen meeting. He said, imagine that you're a parent giving instruction to your child, and your child said, I decide to follow you one day of the week. How would that go in your household? Horrible, right? It'd be chaos in your home. That's what it's like for us when we say we're going to listen to God just one day a week. We're going to hear from God. We're going to read his word just one day a week. No, that's not what we do. We need the intake to behold Christ on a regular basis, seeing him. Now, what's the purpose of being transformed? It's so we prove the will of God. Look at the last part of verse 2. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That word to prove, it simply means to test, to examine in order to approve. Another way to put that is that when we're transformed, we can rightly discern God's will. That's what that means. You will be able to navigate this world. Don't you wish that? You ever hear a good preacher and you're like, man, I wish I could understand Scripture like that. I wish I could apply God's word like that. But God says you can if you are renewed by your mind and are transformed. He grants that. He enables you to navigate this world. And the result is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. You know what's good, and so you can follow it. And that word for good is the same thing that it says that the kind of sacrifice you're supposed to be. This is telling you how to be a good sacrifice. When you're transformed, you're going to be a good sacrifice. Because you'll be able to navigate this world with the wisdom that God has given you. That's how you do it. So, dear Christian, when you're thinking of all those riches we went through, it's your motivation to give your life as a sacrifice, and it's the means by which you give your life as a sacrifice. It's as you dwell on those things, it's going to transform you, and you're being able to live a life pleasing to him. So, Christian, let me ask you this. What kind of steak are you presenting before the Lord? You are called to present yourself as a living sacrifice of worship. You are the sacrifice, and you are the priest who labors to make that sacrifice, make sure that sacrifice is good. Are you being fueled by the right things? Are you fueled by the mercies of God? And are you seeing to it that you are not being molded by the world, but you're being transformed by beholding Christ in the word? You know, if you do, it will lead you to navigate the world according to God's will and live as a fitting sacrifice. And I'm not going to go there, but if you read verses 3 through 6 of chapter 12, it gives the first application of what it is to be a living sacrifice that's transformed. And if you read it, you know what the answer is? The first product of being a living sacrifice? You serve the body. You are an active member. You are given a measure of faith, and you're using it in the body. And tonight, we're going to see opportunities. What will you do with all these truths that you've received these past weeks? Will you tuck it into your pocket? Will you let it fade in your memory? Or will you take it and say, "This puts me on fire, Lord, to give my life as a living sacrifice, and I want to start by serving your people." It can happen tonight. There's opportunities presented to you tonight. Oh, it's fitting. Our riches in Christ is our motivation and the means. We're going to live lives of sacrifice, of worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray your people are challenged, encouraged, motivated, Lord. God, I want to be a better sacrifice. Help me. Help me, Lord. I want to be more useful. You've been so good to me. Why did you choose a wretch? Why did you forgive a wretch? Why did you make that wretch not guilty before your throne? Why did you make that wretch your child, your son? Why did you promise that wretch glory? I don't deserve this, but I'm thankful for it. And I want to live a life as a sacrifice of worship. Help your people. Help us, Lord, to do that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.